Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're peeling back the layers on, well, one of the most pressing strategic challenges facing large organizations, especially right now across Europe.
Mm-hmm.
How do you execute a massive digital and AI transformation without simply handing the keys to Silicon Valley?
That is the paradox we're diving into. Our sources center on a framework called FlowOS, developed by Rob Van Linde, which is being positioned as Europe's detailed blueprint for organizational change in the age of generative AI.
Okay.
It's a very deep, very deliberate response to what many see as a fundamental strategic dilemma.
So our mission for you today is to really understand the architecture of FlowOS.
Mm-hmm.
We need to grasp how it resolves this tension between the push for genuine technological sovereignty and the current heavy reliance on American software ecosystems. And we also need to see exactly how it keeps the human firmly in the center of the process while, you know, leveraging all this cutting-edge AI.
Mm. And that strategic mission is genuinely urgent. The source material, it really highlights that, globally speaking, countries like Germany are lagging.
Yeah, I saw that stat, something like 23rd.
Around 23rd in overall digital maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And they're struggling with AI adoption. So they have to innovate fast. But the default path to speed, well, it often leads directly to deepening that dependency on non-European tech.
And that's the tension.
That tension is FlowOS's primary design constraint.
Okay, let's unpack this.
So we should start with the why, which the creator labels the sovereignty imperative. The whole genesis of FlowOS is rooted in this concept of digital colonialism.
That is a powerful and honestly a provocative phrase. If Europe is leading the world in digital governance with regulations like GDPR and the recent AI Act, why are we still talking about digital colonialism?
Because setting the rules and controlling the infrastructure are two completely different things. While European institutions are championing this regulatory excellence, the actual nervous system that's used to plan and execute organizational transformation, it's almost entirely American.
You mean the day-to-day tools?
The day-to-day reality. Think about it.
Mm.
Organizations manage their agile transformations using Jira. They draft strategy documents in Confluence. They visualize complex architectures in Miro.
And they run all their internal communications and docs on Office 365.
Exactly. So even though they're writing the governance rulebook, they're executing their transformation using platforms whose data centers, whose legal jurisdictions, and, you know, whose core values all lie outside of Europe.
Right.
Precisely. The core insight of FlowOS is that by ceding control over these fundamental transformation tools, the project management, the diagramming, the knowledge storage, you are ceding control over the operational agency of the transformation itself.
So every single metric, every pivot.
Every flow metric, every strategic pivot diagram, every insight from user testing is stored and processed by vendors operating under different legal standards and critically, fundamentally different business philosophies.
This frame makes FlowOS much more than just a new agile methodology. It almost becomes a political and cultural declaration. It's explicitly built on foundational European values, right?
That is the essential distinction. FlowOS isn't just about efficiency. It is explicitly founded on protecting human dignity, on ensuring robust worker participation, which is non-negotiable in places like Germany.
With their co-determination laws.
Exactly. And, of course, achieving technological sovereignty. It seeks to ensure that the process of transforming is not simultaneously the process of outsourcing your corporate agency.
Okay, now that we understand the necessity, let's move to the how, the core architecture. FlowOS is introduced as this necessary departure from, you know, monolithic, rigid frameworks. The source specifically calls out methods like SAFe.
Indeed. The goal is to escape those imposed, almost waterfall-like structures and transition to genuine adaptive flow. And FlowOS achieves this dynamic equilibrium by integrating and modifying three established proven methodologies into one coherent architecture.
All right, let's start with the anchor, design thinking. How does FlowOS make sure human empathy is really driving every initiative, not just efficiency metrics?
Design thinking is the absolute starting gun for all work. Every single objective must begin by proving value to a human user.
And how is that enforced?
There's a specific mechanism called the discovery gate.
Mm-hmm.
Crucially, an objective cannot be passed into the delivery queue, which is the expensive, resource-intensive building phase, without first successfully validating its core value proposition with real users.
So it's not just a suggestion to do user research. It's a built-in mandatory checkpoint. It prevents resource waste and makes sure the process stays human-centered.
Mm-hmm.
How does that then connect to strategy across a massive organization?
That's where the second component, OKR's objectives and key results, that's where it acts as the strategy engine. The insight here is vital for maintaining speed at scale.
Okay.
Instead of relying on these massive, bureaucratic, all-hands synchronization ceremonies that just drain resources, FlowOS uses OKRs to allow management objectives to spin up as highly independent yet aligned value streams.
So teams are effectively pulling their work and their purpose asynchronously from the strategic objectives rather than needing constant time-consuming coordination.
Exactly. This architecture is engineered to scale intelligence and alignment through transparency, not scaling bureaucracy through constant coordination overhead. It's about distributed intelligence operating within a clear strategic envelope.
And if we look back at those rigid frameworks like SAFe, the ones based on imposed hierarchies, why are they so incompatible with this vision for European organizations?
Well, it goes right back to worker participation and co-determination.
Ah, the works councils.
Right. Rigid, top-down frameworks often clash with the legal and cultural mandate for works councils to have real input and agency over strategic change. FlowOS's combination of design thinking, so human input at the start, and decentralized OKR's team autonomy and execution, it naturally accommodates that shared decision-making model.
So it's adaptive flow over imposed structure.
Yes. And that flow is inherently flexible, whereas imposed structure resists input from the bottom up.
And finally, the execution engine is Kanban.
Yes. But it's a modified Kanban structure designed for total transparency across the entire flow. It's broken into three necessary zones.
Okay.
Zone one is alignment, which visualizes the active top-level strategic objectives, the OKRs. Zone two is discovery, where that design thinking validation happens. All the work required to pass the discovery gate.
And zone three.
Zone three is delivery. As the dedicated engineering and shipping phase, it gives you a full line of sight from strategic intent all the way to user validation to final delivery.
So nothing proceeds to the most expensive phase without proven value.
That's the idea.
This is where it gets really interesting, because this philosophical commitment to sovereignty means FlowOS doesn't just mandate new methods, it mandates new tools. It actually implements digital sovereignty through a curated European tech stack.
And this implementation choice is probably the hardest, yet most non-negotiable part of the philosophy. They're maintaining agency by ensuring the tools that manage the organization's future are not dependent on foreign proprietary cloud platforms.
But let's be critical for a second here. A lot of organizations are deeply, deeply invested in the Microsoft and Atlassian ecosystems. I mean, they rely on the massive feature sets of Jira and Confluence. Isn't mandating a switch to alternatives a huge trade-off in functionality?
It is a trade-off.
And does that potentially outweigh the long-term sovereignty benefit? What is the ROI argument for this switch?
That's the critical tension. The ROI isn't measured in feature parity. It's measured in strategic resilience and regulatory risk reduction. The cost of a compliance failure under GDPR, or the strategic cost of losing control over your transformation data. That's calculated to be far greater than the effort for a tool migration.
So let's review the specific sovereign alternatives that form the backbone of the stack. Starting with the most critical part, the intelligence layer.
That role is filled by France's Mistral AI. The benefit is just foundational. By using Mistral, the large language model capabilities, and all the associated data processing, it stays within European jurisdiction.
And it's built to operate under European regulations from the ground up.
Exactly. So this immediately eliminates the dependency and potential compliance friction you get with US-based giants like OpenAI or Anthropic.
Okay. And for work orchestration, the replacement for Jira.
That's Open Project. It's an open source European developed platform. The immediate sovereignty gain there is avoiding vendor lock-in and maintaining full control over your workflow data.
Which is essential for measuring and adjusting your own transformation velocity.
Without giving those proprietary insights to a third party, yes.
Then we have Draw.io, replacing complex visualization tools like Miro.
Draw.io is simple, it's powerful, but the feature FlowOS values most is its option for complete on-premise deployment. Critical architectural diagrams, strategic roadmaps, these high-value assets stay entirely within the organization's firewall.
Instead of resting on a third-party proprietary cloud.
Guaranteeing agency over that strategic knowledge.
And finally, secure knowledge storage for all the documentation.
That is Phylon. It is an end-to-end encrypted European cloud storage solution. This ensures that organizational knowledge is protected under the absolute strictest European privacy standards.
So the result is a closed-loop system where the tools themselves are compliant and sovereign by design.
That's the goal.
This philosophical commitment moves us neatly into how AI is actually used within the framework. FlowOS deliberately avoids that Silicon Valley trend toward full automation or, you know, replacement. It's all about augmentation.
Correct. It's a dual-loop system. The system focuses on software in the loop, or SITL, and human in the loop, HITL. And this isn't just jargon. It's a design philosophy that explicitly preserves human roles.
So if the goal isn't replacement, what tasks are actually assigned to the software in the loop?
SITL agents handle pattern recognition, massive data synthesis, and the kind of heavy lifting that's just too time-consuming for humans. Think of the AI as a highly trained research assistant.
Okay, like what?
They might analyze hundreds of pages of user interview transcripts, suggest preliminary OKR alignments across departments, or proactively flag potential bottlenecks based on flow metrics. But, and this is crucial, the source insists they are explicitly defined as tools that provide data. They are not decision makers.
And that means the human in the loop, the HITL, preserves all the creative and critical roles.
Exactly. HITL reserves all the critical, high judgment tasks for humans. This includes establishing the strategic intent, providing the creative insights needed to define solutions, and most importantly, the empathy-driven choices required to validate that discovery gate.
The human is the ultimate validator.
The only one capable of assigning meaning and purpose, yes.
This choice to augment rather than automate, it seems like a profound statement on what transformation should even be trying to achieve.
It really is. The fundamental design choice of FlowOS recognizes that successful long-term transformation involves fostering meaning, purpose, and human development, not just maximizing process efficiency.
Right.
Which brings up an important question. If these AI agents are assisting human strategists, what prevents them from subtly manipulating or even dictating strategic goals?
That's where the agentic swarm comes in. This is the collection of specialized, targeted AI agents, all operating on that Mistral AI infrastructure, and they're designed to augment very specific human capabilities within the FlowOS architecture.
Let's detail the four key roles defined in the swarm. It really illustrates the SITL and HITL interaction. First, you have the empathy agent.
Okay.
This agent analyzes vast amounts of qualitative data, user research, interview notes, survey results, and it surfaces, say, the top three pain points or opportunity areas.
So instead of a user researcher spending 2 days manually coding transcripts, the empathy agent gives them the core patterns in an hour. And that allows the human to focus on the creative solution design. It amplifies their creative capacity.
Precisely. Next, you have the strategic assistant, the navigator agent. This agent works with human strategists by constantly ensuring OKR alignment across organizational levels, flagging potential conflicts or gaps in coherence.
But that addresses the concern about subtlety. The navigator agent doesn't write the OKR. It just flags that the marketing team's objective conflicts with the engineering team's key result, and it leaves the human strategists to resolve the meaning and the trade-off.
That is the essential boundary. The agent surfaces the pattern. The human provides the high judgment resolution. Then we have the monitoring role, the sense maker agent. This agent monitors flow metrics across the Kanban board, identifying and proactively predicting bottlenecks before they even impact the delivery zone.
So it empowers teams to be adaptive.
Proactive, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, there's the critical learning mechanism.
The reflection agent.
That's the one. It facilitates organizational learning by identifying non-obvious patterns across previous cycles and sprints. What worked, what slowed down, what consistently failed the discovery gate. It surfaces the data needed for learning, while the human team is responsible for the shared understanding and defining the action plan in retrospectives.
If we connect all of this to the bigger picture, you, the listener, need to know the strategic advantages of adopting this fundamentally different approach, especially in the competitive European landscape.
The competitive advantage is truly holistic. First, you gain full regulatory resilience and compliance by design, which is a massive strategic asset in Europe. Second, by focusing on augmentation, organizations build stronger, more adaptable human capital.
Because you're maximizing creativity, not just streamlining tasks.
Right. And that combination generates superior innovation capacity compared to organizations betting on pure automation. And finally, the reduced dependency on American tech monopolies generates tangible economic resilience.
Now, what about implementation? The framework follows its own principles. It's iterative. You don't just flip a switch and overhaul everything at once.
Absolutely not. The recommended path is phased. It starts with an infrastructure transition phase, deploying the European tech stack components incrementally. Organizations would start with non-critical workflows to build confidence and muscle memory for the new sovereign tools.
And the introduction of the agents is equally cautious. one at a time, starting with the empathy agent, which aligns with the design thinking anchor. And critically, they mandate measuring augmentation impact, not metrics related to human replacement.
That measurement philosophy is the backbone of the entire HITL strategy. It's also specifically designed to address Germany's unique economic structure. The source highlights that FlowOS is perfectly suited for the German context, allowing it to leapfrog current competitors.
How does it fit the German context so well?
Primarily through Works Council compatibility. The HITL and augmentation approach is inherently compatible with German code determination principles, so it avoids that adversarial relationship often created by automation frameworks.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, unlike enterprise frameworks designed only for massive corporations, FlowOS scales down elegantly for mid-sized companies, the powerful German middle stand, allowing transformation to happen across the backbone of the economy, not just in the corporate towers.
So what does this all mean? FlowOS is, in effect, Europe's comprehensive declaration of independence in the age of AI transformation. It provides an integrated end-to-end system that offers a clear path where organizations don't have to choose between competitive efficiency and human centricity.
Or innovation and independence. It delivers technological sovereignty through that curated European stack and methodological rigor through the integrated design thinking, OKR, and Kanban architecture. It offers a structured way to resist the strong gravitational pull of the Silicon Valley transformation industrial complex.
And build change on your own terms.
Yeah.
And the framework itself is clear that this isn't a project with an end date. It's not promising some fixed target operating model to reach and then stop.
No, absolutely not. FlowOS embraces transformation as a permanent state of organizational awareness and continuous adaptation. In a world where AI capabilities shift monthly and markets shift daily, that permanent state of flow is just necessary for long-term survival.
And this leads us to the final provocative thought for you to consider. FlowOS provides the blueprint, the philosophy, and the sovereign tools, but its success relies entirely on the courage of organizations to break free from familiar, comfortable dependencies, from the ingrained habits of using Jira, Miro, and Office 365. And while FlowOS is designed to be integrated, organizations still have to manage the inherent complexity of shifting to and overseeing four distinct vendors, Mistral, Open Project, Draw.io, and Phelan, instead of relying on one consolidated vendor platform. So the question is, how much does corporate culture and existing infrastructure inertia weigh against the undeniable strategic advantages of achieving true digital sovereignty? It's a fundamental choice between comfort and independence.